For the second Sunday of Advent, our theme is preparation. And the scripture is from Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. Sorry. A voice of one calling, "In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Please stand and join us in singing our hymn. The words are on the screen.
As we begin the Christian year, we do so by celebrating the holy season, known as Advent. It is a time when we prepare ourselves for the coming of our Messiah. We celebrate these days of Advent in expectation and preparation for Christ's arrival. Through the centuries, Christians have observed this time of waiting before celebrating the birth of the Savior at Christmas. The Advent season is a time for reflection and preparation, but its mood is joyful. It is better to light
tiny spark. If we'd all say a prayer that the world would be free, a wonderful dawn of a new day we'll see. And if everyone lit just one would be.
The star we raise above us and the candles we place in our windows today have a twofold purpose: to recognize Jesus as God's light in the world, and to recognize how we too become God's light in the world. We carry the light of Christ within us, not just through the Christmas season, but all year round. And we are commanded to invite others to Christ's calling out of the darkness of sin and death. Christ's light shines into all of our hearts and through us, which empowers us to become the light so around the world. The lights around us also remind us that Jesus has promised to return. The most striking and the most universal feature of Christmas is the use of evergreens in churches and homes. Among some ancient people, evergreens were emblems of peace, joy, and victory. The early Christians placed them in their windows to indicate that Christ had entered the home. Today, these greens symbolize the unchanging nature of our God, and they remind us of the everlasting life that is ours through Christ Jesus. This part of our celebration originated in the travels of an American ambassador in Mexico. Mexican Christians shared their story of the Bethlehem star, shining on the manger so brightly that the earth responded, reflecting that starlight, mirroring that starlight with a beautiful flower of white petals, the flower of the holy night. Then came the tragic day when Jesus died on the cross, and the blossoms changed to the radiant blood red petals remembering the sacrifice of Christ. Now, the poinsettia reminds us of a holy night, pointing to a Good Friday.
Underneath the stars, just a simple man in white. Somewhere in the dark, his words touch the silent night. Take my hand, for the child that you carry is God's own. And though it seems the road is long, that far from Bethlehem, where all our hope and joy began. For in our arms we'll cherish him. We're not that far from Bethlehem.
Christmases go by,
learn to live our days
with our hearts near to the child,
ever drawn, ever close
to the only love that lasts. And though 2,000 years have passed, we're not that far from Bethlehem, where all our hope and joy began. For in our hearts still cherish him. We're not that far. We're not that far from Bethlehem, where all our and joy began. For in our hearts still cherish him. We're not that far. No, we're not that far from Bethlehem.
One of the most heartwarming expressions of Christmas, the Nativity, speaks the mystery of God's wisdom. God reached out to all people, including the poor and the wealthy, the simple and the wise, the powerless and the powerful. All who found him knelt in humility before him. Knowing God is possible because he came to us at our level. At Christmas, we choose an evergreen as the symbol of our salvation. Green, the color of living things, reminding us of the new life in Christ. The evergreen points skyward, urging us to ever look upward to heaven. Then we add the symbols of our faith for ornaments on the tree and experience the glorious connection between God and humanity.
Now you all get to be part of the celebration in song by joining us standing, and we're going to sing one verse of Joy to the World.
Good to see you in our service today and experiencing the hanging of the rings this morning, beginning of our Christmas season. Actually, it started last Sunday with lighting of our wreath. This morning, as we come together, we celebrated in combination with our worship service and the hanging of the rings. Now I want to turn your attention to our scripture this morning, which is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, 6, and 7. The title of the message is The Gift of Christ. So if you'll follow along with me, if we can get our screen switched over to our slides this morning. There we go. All right. Our scripture reading again is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7, which Isaiah talks about the birth of a Savior, the Messiah, the coming Messiah, the birth and reign of the Prince of Peace. Exactly. So beginning with verse 2, which says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in the dark land, the light will shine on them." Now looking at verse 6. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." And then verse 7, "There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. And then and from then and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." As we look at Isaiah chapter 9 this morning, I've been preaching the series out of Isaiah. Now we'll come back to chapter 9, which in the midst of Isaiah, he tells us about Messiah, the Prince of Peace. And when we're thinking about Christmas, well, we're thinking about gifts, aren't we? But Christ is the ultimate gift, Amen. The gift of Christmas. And the gift of Christmas, or the gift of Christ at Christmas, is a personal, it's powerful, and it's life-changing. So if you've ever had that personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, you've had that life-changing experience. You'll never forget it. When the Holy Spirit touches your heart and you invite Him to come into your life and you begin your walk with the Lord, that life changes then. And it continues. It's a process throughout our life. It's just not instant. But our salvation is, but our walk with the Lord is a continual process in which we walk with Him daily. As Romans chapter 6 tells us, walk in the newness of life, because that newness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the gift of Christ seems to catch everyone off guard. Imagine Mary. Just think about Mary. The scripture says that when Christ was announced that He would be born, she pondered. She was astonished. She didn't know what to think. As the scripture tells us, it caught her off guard in the best way. It caught her off, I would say, and transcended any expectations. So, most gifts are wonderful, and we welcome gifts, don't we? But once in a while, someone will say, not what I expected, but just what I needed. Now, that's what we find in the gift of Christ, the gift of Christmas. And I don't know what you might be getting for Christmas, but nothing will compare with the gift of Christ. So I want us to look at four things here quickly this morning. Four reasons the gift of Christ is personal, it's powerful, it's permanent. We like permanent things, don't we? So the gift of Christ is permanent, and it is passionate. So let's look, first of all, at the gift of Christ. It's a personal than ever imagined. See, we all appreciate personal gifts, and ones that show they really involve the giver. The giver really put some thought in what they were giving. So when you receive a gift and you say, this is just what I needed, then you should say, well, the giver really put a lot of thought in that. They knew exactly what I needed. They thought of me. You know, it's not always a gift. It's the giver. It's the receiving of the gift. Now, it says, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and that falls in verse 6. So here is one of the many birth announcements from God, one of many. In the Old Testament, there were many, but here in Isaiah, this was the gift of Christ, and many had known this one, but yet they missed it. They missed it. And in fact, in the coming of Christ, God sent over a hundred of prophecies about this. Detailed announcements of the coming of Christ. Now, how could that be missed? How could over 100 prophecies of the coming Christ be missed? In part because they saw them as a mountain peaks. In the distance peak, they could see the coming of a reigning or a restoring king. But in the forefront is the coming of a suffering servant. As we read over on into Isaiah chapter 53. It talks about the suffering servant, what he would go through for the sins of the world. Now, no one expected God to be so vulnerable. Yet, that is just what God has done. If you should read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it talks about that. And it's a mystery that never ceases to our souls, both in surprise and satisfaction. Now, God's coming to humanity, coming as a child. What a mystery. It was a mystery to Mary. She pondered on it. God placed his life in Mary's hands, and guess what? So with us. He places his life in our hands. This is a true story about a man who lost his son, and he cherished his son. He thought so much of him, and upon his own death, his things were sold. And a painting of his son, which was plain and showed no particular beauty, was given no attention at the sale, at the auction. Only one man offered to buy this picture. It was a poor caretaker who had helped with this man and his son throughout his life, and wanted this picture out of a personal reason, because of the years that he spent with the owner and the son. Well, during the auction, no one bid it. They wanted to get on with the more important things. But for this man, the auction was over, and the will was read, and it was announced that the man's entire inheritance would be given to whoever bought the painting of the son. The caretaker, he got it all. He got it all. So all that God has is being given to you. We got it all when we accepted Christ as our Savior. Not only the most personal gift, but let's look at the gift of Christ is more powerful than ever imagined in verse 7. We all long at this time of year to know that the world could have a brighter future. At this time in our life, the world, we think, can have a brighter future. So we discover that God had sent his son to change human history. In verse 6, it says, David's throne and a government rest on his shoulders, and he's called the Prince of Peace. And many were expecting a great king from God, but few understood the real power struggle at hand was not simply political, but it was spiritual. There was a saying that the great need of humanity is not solved by who's ruling over people, but what's ruling within people. That would be God. God came to defeat far more than the particular government, but the power of evil itself. Now, and indeed, whatever this child who was born to restore the reign of God, and I would say in our hearts, has truly been made king. Why? Because his lives have been transformed. Your lives have been transformed. See, that's the power of God. That's the power of the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Families have been restored. Think about families, especially this time of year. Maybe not being able to get together, but still their lives have been restored through Christ. Nations have changed forever. Nations who accept Christ Messiah as the true living God have been changed forever. And this one child has dwelt more blows to evil than we can imagine. In him is a power for the peace we long for. Everybody longs for peace. Many nations long for peace. The world itself is looking for that fulfillment of peace. A mother was out of the house. And guess who gets to be left in charge? The father, right? So, but this particular man was enrolled into a college class and he needed to study. So he had, knowing that the two children would be wanting to play or do something, he decided to plan a game for them. So he went to the National Geographic magazine. He tore out a page out of the magazine. It was a map. The whole page was a map. So he got the two children together and he said, hey, we're going to do a game. So he ripped it up in pieces and he handed it to him. And he said, I want you to put this map back together. So he needed at least an hour to study. Probably needed more than that for a class, college class, but he wanted at least an hour. So he was pretty sure that they would be busy for an hour or so. So he took them in this room and he set them down and he said, okay, you can start putting the pieces back together. He went to his study, began to study, and in 10 minutes, the children showed up. They had that picture put back together. He was so amazed. He said, how was you able to put this piece of paper or this picture or this map back so quickly? And the little girl spoke up and said, Dad, that's simple. On the back side of this map was a picture of a woman. And we knew if we could put her face back together, we would have it all, the map would be in place. Isn't that true? Isn't that the same for many of us who struggle to put the map of life together sometimes? If we could only look at the other side of the map and see the picture of Jesus in our life. If we could see that and put the picture together, then the map of life would come together so much easier. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says, in all the way acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That is true. So Mary had a king in her hands. You think about that. The baby child, Jesus. Yours, my king, in our hands. Thirdly, the gift of Christ is more permanent than ever imagined. See, we all want gifts that will last. Verse 7 says, his government will be no end. So many gifts may not last, but the gift of Christ will last, and the gift of Christ is our future. A lady named Peggy, shared about a picture given to her at a Christmas by a young boy who they had helped throughout otherwise a homeless year. Actually, they helped him and his mother. And in gratitude, the little boy wrote a note and gave it to her and said, dear Peggy, thanks for giving us a life with a future. Love, Darren. She reached out. They had no hope. They had no future because they was homeless. But Peggy reached out, extended the love and care they needed. And he and Devin was very thankful. See, that's what God has given you and me in the gift of Christ, a life with a future. Lastly, the gift of Christ is more passionate than ever imagined in verse 7. So when it comes to gifts, we all know that it's the heart of the giver that matters the most. And more the gift, it's how much they care that satisfies on the deepest level. Notice what the end of verse 7 says. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. And it has, and it will continue to accomplish his purpose. I want to share a closing story with you about a teacher. Everybody loves teachers, right? We all love our teachers. In school, when we was in school, elementary school, high school, college, Sunday school, church, whatever, we love our teachers. And we always want to give them something, right? Because to show our appreciation. Well, this teacher on a little bit has received a special shell from her children at class, in her classroom. And she was surprised because she knew that the shell couldn't have come from that side of the island. That it had to come from the other side of the island. And she was so amazed that she received it and wondered how she received it. And one of the little boys who gave it to her replied in broken English, "Long walk, part gift." Long walk, part of gift. They went the extra mile. Well, guess what? Christ went the extra mile for us. That's what's so precious about it. It's personal. It's permanent. It's passionate. It's powerful. In closing this morning, my prayer is that we don't miss the love that stands behind this timeless event. It is timeless. The reason is, God has gone to all these lengths because he is passionate for you and for me. Christ is the greatest gift in the world. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of Christ, your Son. We think of many gifts during this year. We think of many needs that we all have. But when it comes down to it, we probably have everything that we really need, not everything that we want. But when you look into the world itself, recognizing billions of people that lives in this world, millions that just live in our nation, over 300 million, that have not yet received the greatest gift, the gift of Christ. Each one of us has that special gift. We should want to share it. Let someone else know how they can experience the Prince of Peace, the true Messiah, the true Lord God, Yahweh, who from the very beginning, as it tells us in Ephesians, that he made a plan. He carried out that plan to send his Son, Jesus Christ, into the to be the Savior of the world, to be that example. Lord, I pray this morning as we think of Christmas that we think of the greatest gift, which is Jesus Christ, and we want to share him with others. We thank you for each one here this day. And we just pray that as we leave here today, that we take Jesus with us and we share him, which is so important. We have a great gift, and we know that it's enough to go around for the whole world. But John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." So that involves, that includes everybody. So God so loved the world. May we ponder as Mary upon all of this. As we reflect, Lord, may we thank you, and then we share you with others. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.